Amen. So, Pastor Shannon's going to be coming up and ministering to us. We want to pray for her quickly. If you've heard of Jeremiah Johnson, he was on Sid Roth a little while ago, and he said that he sees that 2024 is the year of the woman. He's raising up, God is raising up Esther and Deborah anointings. So we pray them over Pastor Shannon. The leadership anointing of Deborah and the for such a time as this in Esther. And there was a tribe in the 12 tribes of Israel named Issachar. And they were special because they knew the times and what the Lord wanted Israel to do. So we pray that over you as well. We impart it to you, Esther, Deborah, and Issachar. The leadership and the guidance and the teaching in Jesus' name. Amen.
Are you excited to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Amen. Are you excited to be the house of the Lord this morning? Yes. That's New Testament. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit this morning. So, well, bless you folks. It's exciting to see you here. And let me do a little embarrassing thing for somebody. Christy, it's so good to see you, honey. Yeah. we're just blessed by that. So I know why I prefer my headset. There. This one doesn't like glasses. Well, a father was reading a Bible story to his young son. And he read, a man named Lot was warned to take his wife and flee out of the city. But his wife looked back and was turned to a pillar of salt. The young boy thought about that for a minute, and then he said, well, what happened to the flea? What happened to the flea? What I say and what you hear may not be the same thing. Anyhow, flea spelt with an E-A for those of you who didn't catch it. So this morning, again, I want to start by inviting everybody to the annual general meeting. Last Sunday, you get to hear about it. How many is happy to hear that? Anyway. But again, it is not a meeting for membership only. It is for you because you attend here. You are a part of the church. And we want to come, like I said, I want us to look at it as a family reunion. We're going to get together and share what God has been doing in our lives this past year. So, I know. But it's one more week and I'll have my mic back. That's okay. You know what? I just appreciate having a mic to begin with. Betty, are we able, were we working on the PowerPoint thing? Okay. We're having a few technical glitchy things, so if you feel like praying over the glitchies. Oh, okay. Well, let's put it up the way. One of the words that I had been given for us, for myself and for us this year, is extravagant, extraordinary blessings, and we're going to dig into that this morning. How many like those words? Extravagant, extraordinary, and blessings. Man, those are good words the Lord has spoken to us. But I'm going to start by taking a look at something that we've been doing now for just a little over a year, and that been standing up, declaring, and decreeing the word of God that he has spoken over us. You know, one of the things, I'm sorry, Don, I do have to do the on and off. I can't see, and I don't like talking to you like this because you see my double chin. Anyway, when we've been doing this, one of the things that is in my heart, and I hope in your heart, let us never let it become a ritual or a tradition. There's a purpose, a God-given purpose in us speaking, standing up in faith and declaring. And I challenge you, Holy Spirit, I just pray that you speak to the hearts of those that find that some mornings, that it is just a tradition or a ritual that we're doing. To speak to their hearts, to take a moment and say, Lord, no, I'm speaking this in faith, trusting you and trusting your word. Because it's just dead words if that's all we're doing, okay? So this year we decided we're going to do it a little bit different. We're going to do a decree for 2 weeks. So we've spoken the one this morning for 2 weeks. Just so that we're actually seeing and getting a hold of it. You get it in your announcements via email. You know, if you can, print it off, put it on the fridge, put it on your bathroom mirror, or wherever you look most often, maybe in the middle of your TV or your iPad screen. So that you're reminding yourself, what has God said? What has he promised? Who is he and who am I? We at Camrose Community Church declare that every believer in Jesus, now we've gone on to say in here at this church, but this is a promise for every believer in Jesus Christ. What is it? That we shall do great exploits. Amen. How many of you here want to do great exploits? Somebody's talking to us. How many of you are afraid of that, doing great exploits? And then the rest of you don't care one way or the other. I saw some hands go up and other hands, or some didn't hear what I said. God has promised us something, that as believers, we can do great exploits in God. In him, for him, through him, through Holy Spirit in us. How many of you might be a little, I saw one hand go up, so I might be a little afraid and intimidated by that. And I want to say this, if your heart is saying this, I'd like to, but I don't know, what is God going to ask me to do? I'm a little overwhelmed by that idea. You know, maybe there's a little trembling, a terrifiedness in it. You know what it says the beginning of knowing God is? Fear of the Lord. That fear of him, what does that mean? God is big. What's he going to ask me to do? It doesn't mean that we're terrified that he's going to hurt us, but he's big, and what's he going to, is he going to ask me to do something I cannot do? Well, guess what it goes on to say here? Let's hold on. Let's get it. That the kingdom of God be manifest here in power and joy. Whose power? Yours? No, the kingdom of God be manifest here in what? And see, God has equipped you. As a believer in Jesus Christ, God has already equipped you. He's put his Holy Spirit, who comes in power and in joy within you. And Jesus taught us to pray what way? Our Father, art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Stop right there. What? Thy kingdom come. We get to ask for it. We get to seek it. We get to experience the kingdom in us through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit because of the finished work of God. And we get to go do great exploits. And I want to say, every believer here, one of the things as a church, as pastors, as leadership, is to see that the church, the believers, are equipped to do the work of the ministry. To go out and do great exploits in the name of the Lord. So if you're sitting here saying, well, I don't want to do it, I'm too old, or I'm too whatever, or I'm too young, or I don't know the Bible enough, or I don't know, guess what? You're not exempt. You're not exempt. And in fact, the only thing is limiting you is your limiting beliefs and what God has done. You have just spent 8 weeks with Crystal and a few more talking about the names of God, who the character of God, what he's like, who he's about, and guess where he dwells now? In you, through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Tell me a few names that you remember. Well, you should have one from this morning. He is peace who dwells in you. What else? Jehovah Jireh. What does Jehovah Jireh do? My provides. Anybody got one more? Jehovah Rapha, who is my healer. Hey, that's a good one. God's kingdom manifest here in power and in joy. How many of you would like to see God's power manifest here? Right. I want to talk to you a bit about what does that look like. And I'm going to give you a little heads up. Next month, the month of March, 5 Sundays, myself, Betty, and Jim, we're going to talk about teaching that time, receiving from God. How do we receive these things from God? How do we, anyhow, little taster, good stuff. And I've had permission from Marion to share something amazing happened to her on Monday. You see, one of the things about the power of God is it does start here in the church to go out, but it needs to start here with us, being willing to minister. I'm not saying that it doesn't happen outside of this, but don't we want to see it here amongst ourselves, where we pray for one another's, where we're touching one another here? Can I put it this way? Maybe even practicing with fear and intimidation. I'll come and lay hands on you and pray for you to be healed. Receive the gift of tongues. Prophesy. I'll do that. Maybe. You know what I mean? If you have to come that way, that's okay, because here's a good place for it to happen. Or in a home group, if you're a part of the home group or care group. So I want to talk about Monday. Again, Marion gave me permission. She came in. She was struggling with something. She needed prayer. Two godly men who have full of faith laid hands on her. And while they were praying for her, God did, not them. The powerful presence of the Holy Spirit came upon her, the power, and down she went. You see, sometimes we come thinking God has to operate in a certain way. You know, we're a mixed bag of experiences here. Some of us have had what we would call the Pentecostal charismatic, where we know we've heard about people being slain in the spirit and getting filled with holy laughter and joy and amazing things happening, and we've seen that happen. And there's some of us here who have not and aren't sure about it and don't know what to think about that. Some of us have even been taught that it's of the enemy. But you see, when the power of God comes on people, who are we to tell everybody how they are going to respond? Heard a beautiful story or a share actually from the Teen Alpha program way back, where the experiences was electric fence. And the idea being that one person will touch that electric fence and will just go, whoo, wow. And another person will yahoo and whoop-hoo and yah-hoo-ah. See, each of us have a different experience and response to that, or not necessarily a different experience, but a different response to that experience. So are we going to sit here and say what Marion experienced was not of God? Because I challenge you, we got lunch coming, you can talk to Marion about what God did in that moment. Not what Scott and Rod did because they prayed, because it wasn't them, though they were the vessel that God used, it was the power of God on her. And what if that was to happen every Sunday here, and Monday, and Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday, and then back again to Sunday, where the power and presence of God is on this place and on us in this place, and as we go from this place, because who dwells in us? Jesus, and the power of the Holy Spirit, that we go from this place, and when you're standing in Walmart or walking down the street as you're walking your dog, your cat, or your own feet, and you pump into somebody, and the Spirit says, and you just do great exploits for the Lord in the moment where you are. Sometimes folks were too polite, and especially as Canadians, were too stayed back and stayed, and just, oh, well, I just don't want to disrupt the flow of the nice. But sometimes, requires us to be a little bolder than we are. Sometimes we need to listen to what Spirit is saying, because Not even sometimes, I'd say all the time. Sometimes this is just a nice Canadian way of saying, all the time. Okay, eh? All the time, that's right. We want to be listening to the Holy Spirit to move in the power and the joy because it is in you, because you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And his power and his presence dwells in you. And he's willing and ready and waiting. So let's move on here. Stuck. Betty is the thing over on the thing. The thing on the thing? The pointer on the screen. There it goes. Next to the doohickey. And that there shall be no end of the increase of Jesus' government and peace. You see, what we keep thinking, you know, is when Jesus comes, there'll be Jesus' government. But as we go out, his government keeps increasing because it's in us, as we share in us, has his power, has his rule, has governs us, it goes out. And then the peace that comes from within and in others. That's just picking that apart. But let's go to the words. And those are, again, those are, that's in your bulletin, all the scriptures those are taken from. But the words that God gave us, the first one was extravagant. You know, I had to look it up because I have an idea of extravagant. Does everybody have an idea of extravagant? What do you see in your mind? Anybody see gold pillars and marble floors and velvet this or rich stuff, right? I too. You know, when you look up the word extravagant, it comes with pretty negative thinking. So let's take a look at some of it, but then we're going to turn it around here. Okay, extravagance means more than necessary, extraordinary, and extreme. And I didn't put all of these up, but it also means the spreading or projecting beyond boundaries, beyond the limits or the prescribed methods, exceeding the bounds of reason, or a person, their disposition, their passion, their actions, and their opinions. It is expensive, pricey, exorbitant. It's not one who keeps to the ordinary or the reasonable limits. It's exceptional or eccentric and fanatic. God says extravagant. Extravagant. But Lord, you see, the world comes with limited thinking. And you know what? As the world sees extravagant, it is all of that. But then when we move this to God, how God sees us, how God views us, who God is, and how he wants to not bless himself, but bless us and take us places, he is a God of extravagant, of the extravagant things that we can't sometimes grab a hold of. Sorry. See, it's beyond our reason, beyond our human limits, beyond what we would prescribe or the methods. I know there's a song that I know Krista used to sing quite often here, is Radical Love of God, but Reckless Love of God. Oh, Christians got up in arms about that song. And I understand what they're saying. God isn't reckless. No, he's not. But as the world sees recklessness, I wouldn't love that way. I wouldn't care that way. I wouldn't be that extravagant going out and seeking the lost. I wouldn't give my life for people who don't care. So again, it's a song about the extravagance of God's love, the extravagance of our God who goes beyond what the world is willing to do. The world is selfish and our God is selfless. Extravagant, beyond our limits, our prescribed methods. First John 1:3, see how great the love of the Father has lavished on us. Is that word lavish coming to the understanding of extravagant? He's lavished it on us that we should be called the children of God. How about Ephesians 3:20 that says, now to him, being God, who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to the power, and look at that last line that said, work in us. Our God is a God that gives to us extravagantly. See, this isn't about him, is it? It isn't about what he is or what he wants. It's about what he does for us. He is a God who gives and gives and gives, and above our human understanding, extravagantly giving to us. The next word is extraordinary. Extraordinary. Here's the words. It means very unusual, special, unexpected, or strange. Good or important because of its unusual qualities. Exceptional or outstanding. Opposite of ordinary. How many are glad to have opposite of ordinary? Woo! Opposite of the ordinary. Going beyond what is usual, regular, customary. Again, I used to have the or established. Our God wants to take us beyond the ordinary. He's already got it there for us. It's funny, I don't know how many of you have ever heard of Watchman Nee. There's a book that he has written. He's a Christian author. And he wrote a book many years ago called The Ordinary Christian Life. And if you read that book, you realize as believers, we're living substandard to ordinary as believers. You see, we keep accepting the ho-humness and ordinariness of our Christian. We come, we do our thing, we do our devotion, we read the word, we do a Bible study, we come. And we don't let the extraordinary and the extravagance of God come and overwhelm us by the Holy Spirit. We don't let the power sink upon us, the manifestation come to us where we can move in the extraordinary. The power of the Holy Spirit in us. The power of God, Christ, who dwells in us. Then there's the emotional experience, the astonishment, the strong admiration, or the contrary. Ever been astonished at God? Ever had the wow of God hit you? You just go, wow. Ah, that's for us. That's for us. Sorry about the little. The extraordinary things of God. We've already looked at it in the scriptures that we presented just a minute ago. Sorry. And then the last word is blessing. Here is just a real abbreviated thing on blessing. It means to be with favor, of one mind with, and in tune with the will of God. That sounds crazy. Blessing comes when we're of one mind with God, in tune with God, and his favor is upon us. His favor is upon you as a believer. Do you know that? Do you understand? And as we come, what does the scripture say here? Behold how good it is and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. That's part of verse 1, and then all the way down to verse 3 says, for there the command of the blessing, the Lord commands the blessing. When we're in unity with one another and in unity with the word of God and the will of God, God commands the blessing there. As we gather together and share in his word and start filling our hearts with what the word says, establishing our hearts, putting that seed in, we start experiencing a unity with one another, a coming together. You are a part of the body of Christ, whether you believe it or not, but as you understand, as we come together, as we sit there and go, I don't get it. How did you get that out of the word? And we talk and we share. And maybe you walk away, you still don't quite get it, but you know what? You come back. You come back to the next Bible study or the next meeting, and we keep going and we keep digging. And unity is formed. And we come together as brothers and sisters, as family. God said, and we start understanding the mind of God, and our minds start coming in line with him. We take captive thoughts that aren't godly and putting the godly thoughts in and coming in tune with God's will. And it's there God says, I command the blessing. I command the blessing. It speaks to us again here in Romans 2:12, to not conform with what the world says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that coming into line where we're one mind with Christ, that you may prove what the will of God is. As we come in line with his word and see his word and see what he's saying, we come in line with what his will is. We know what his will is. And his will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. How many of you would love to live in the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God? Amen. And in Proverbs 28:2, it says, the faithful man will abound with blessings. As we continue to seek, as we just faithfully keep following him. Doesn't mean we're going to get it and understand everything all the time, but it'll come. But it's the faithfulness. Yeah. It's the faithfulness to keep seeking and trusting and growing and going. The blessing. So, let me see if I can move forward. So we looked at the extravagant, extraordinary blessing that God has spoken over us. And I say for the year, but you know, one of the things the Lord kind of challenged me with in this is the idea that we have these timelines. The year starts in January and it ends in December. Or we do a school calendar, which starts in September and goes till June, and we take a summer break. Or you could be a part of a finance group that has the different things for tax season or whatever. God's timeline doesn't always follow our timeline. And a few years back, he gave us the word, listen, don't look at the past. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing from Isaiah 43. Can you see it and can you perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the desert. It didn't end the end of those years, the words. It's still ongoing for us. And this is just another level he's added. When Dean was here a couple of weeks ago, he gave us all a rock. And he talked about when they went from the wilderness into the land of promise, they picked up those rocks as the walls of the floodwaters of the river were built up there so they could walk on dry land. And they created a memorial that reminded them of what God had done. And so one of the things when we speak about the past, we don't want to forget about the past. That's not what he's asking us to do, but let's not let the past dictate the future. The way we've done it in the past is not the way he necessarily is asking us to do it now. God's word will never change, but the method in which we present, share, or move in his word can and does. So though we set up a memorial and thank God for what he has done, we don't get stuck there. We want to move forward. We want to move into the extravagant, extraordinary blessings that he has today for this time. And it doesn't mean that as of December 31st at midnight it ends. It is an ongoing thing. God wants to continually bless us extravagantly and extraordinary. This did come with a qualifier. And it was an interesting thing when it did. And you say, what's a qualifier? Jesus is the one who qualifies us. Yes. But Jesus says, these things are for those with ears to hear and eyes to see. In other words, I come back to that whole idea that we do not sit still and wait for God to come and do something. We take ears to hear what he's saying. We seek the word of God. And again, I want, if you've got your scriptures, we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 13. And we know the story of the sower and the seed. And Jesus is talking about it and he shares it. He's about the different grounds that the seed falls on, the word of God falls on. And then he ends it with, whoever has ears, let them hear. He moves on to talk to and explain it a little more detail to the disciples. And then he, through chapters 13 to 15, he talks about a word from Isaiah that talks about the people of Israel who, having ears, never heard, never had understanding in their heart, they would never see or perceive what God was doing. And then in verse 16, he says this, but, I like it when there's a good but in there. Blessed are your eyes because you see, they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you,
Many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. Again, Jesus is asking us to listen to what he's saying. Don't merely be hearers of the word and not doers. James tells us that. Jesus tells us many times to be hearers, to hear, to have ears to hear. I'm going to put my Bible down because I have my notes, my scriptures here. And so when he talks about the soil, we have a heart that has, he's referring to our hearts. What have you planted? Where are you planting? When you hear the word of God, what is the soil of your heart like? Is it dry like the path? Is it full of rocks? Is it full of weeds? Or is it a tilled soil? If it's a hard, dry path, you don't have to worry about that in the sense of God can help you break up. Anybody had to break up hard soil? Anybody had to dump a pot out and it's like, my goodness, this is like a rock, and break it up and work it in? God can do that with the soil of your heart. Some of us have rocky hearts. While we know that the farmer goes out and he picks the rocks out of the field, we can pick the rocks out, and the Holy Spirit just asks, Lord, my heart feels rocky and hard towards you. You can pick out the rocks. And then it talks about weeds coming up. Well, I'll tell you what, you either pull the weeds or you let them take over. And again, Jesus is there, the Holy Spirit is there to help you pick the weeds out so that you have the soil that can receive the word. Ears that hear, so that the heart can be established in the living word of God. You know that story. I've just explained a little bit. We've talked about it. We've gone into depths. But have you done anything with it? If you feel those ways. Jesus said, listen to my words. Listen to who I am. Listen to the Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you. In fact, Revelation, I'm going to put this up here. How many know this picture? This is an updated version with an updated door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, what are you listening for? His voice. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me. The invitation is there. He's knocking. Are you going to open the door? I saw one on a cartoon that knock, knock, who's there? Jesus, what do you want? I want to come in. And, you know, I want to come in. Not right now. I'm busy. Not right now, Lord. I'm busy. Ears to hear. You know, when I was studying this, I came across, and this was not the end of them, 26 scriptures that talked about he who has ears, let him hear. There's way more. I think it's important that we listen with our hearts, not with our frustrations and our thoughts and what is the word saying? What is the Holy Spirit speaking to us? Mark 4:9. He who has ears, let him hear. Romans 6-17, but then they not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So, you want to grow in your faith? It says this, faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of God. If we're not going to take the time, if we're not going to spend the time, why are we expecting our faith to grow? Oh, God, I'll just make it happen. He says, yes, I will, but here's how I want you to receive that. I want you to hear my words. Isaiah 6, verses 9-10, which again is kind of being mentioned here, talks about the unwillingness to hear what God is saying. And then it says this, they keep on hearing without understanding, they keep on seeing and not perceiving. And so their hearts are dull, their ears are heavy, their eyes are blind. And they could see, and if they would see and hear and understand with their hearts and turn, they'd be healed. That's Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. So I have a question for you. Are your ears open? Or are we listening to the knock at the door and saying, you know what, I'm really busy right now? Extravagant, extraordinary blessings for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. So let's talk about the eyes to see. Anybody read through some of the Gospels? Seen the stories? Have you pictured them? We're going to get into that next week, too, with the Sunday Morning on it. Having eyes to see. Okay, tell me, what are some of the things you see Jesus doing in the Gospel? Healing. What kind of healings? Physical healings? Spiritual? Eyes, blind eyes open, deaf ears, lame walk. We heard that in our children's story this morning. Those wonderful things. Raising the dead. Feeding the thousands. Walking on water. Let me see if I can get this happening here. Oops, sorry. So we're just going to put some of these pictures up. We see this, feeding the 5,000. I'm going to feed a handful of them this morning. We see these things in the Bible, and this is what Jesus says. Ugh. In John 5:9, Jesus gave this, said, "Very truly, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father is doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, he will show him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed." So we read through the Gospels and we see all the things, the amazing things Jesus did. Do you see them? Do you see them with your mind's eye? When Jesus is healing and raising the dead and feeding the 5,000 and walking on water and touching the blind man. Here, John 5:12-13 says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing. They will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask for anything in my name, and I will do it." Extravagant, extraordinary blessings are ours if we will have ears to hear and eyes to see. If we will allow the Word of God to be established in our hearts and our lives. If we will hear the door being knocked at and opening it up. And I'm sitting here and you guys as believers are going, "Oh, but where are the extraordinary and extravagant blessings? They're in you, and we need to release them. We need to understand Holy Spirit wants to move through you to do these things." We started this morning by saying that every believer in Christ, we've been praying for it, shall do extraordinary or great exploits. That the kingdom of God is manifest here in you and me with power and with joy. And there'll be no end to the increase of Jesus' government. Sorry, let me get this. Extravagant, extraordinary blessings are for those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. I want to do something this morning. We don't do this often, but I want you to think about this a minute. When we started this morning, we said, "Hey, we shall do great exploits." And some of us are afraid. Some of us don't know what that means, or afraid to yield to the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do, what the Father wants to do with us. Some of us are intimidated by God and his power and his greatness and what he will do. When I say that, I kind of mean a fearfulness. If I step out, what will he do? But our God is good. His good and pleasing and perfect will that he wants to do for us and through us. And if you have a little bit of fear and intrepidation this morning, but you're saying, no, I want to see with eyes that see in the Spirit. I want to hear with ears that hear what the Spirit is saying. And you're not sure that's happening, or you just want to be prayed for, why don't you stand up right now and I'm going to pray for you. And if you don't want that, you can sit down and stay there, and that's just fine. And we'll just pray for those who are wanting to go and grow in that. So go ahead, stand up. Jesus told us, he just told us, ask anything of me. He's not holding back from you this morning. There is nothing he is holding back from you this morning. And so, as we, Father, come before you and see this wonderful promise of extravagant and extraordinary blessings, we pray, give us the ears to hear you, Spirit, and the eyes to see in the Spirit what you are doing, that we can go from this place doing great exploits in spite of our trembling. Because you are faithful. We trust you, not us. We trust what you say, not what we think, but what you think. Bring us into unity, Lord, with your will, with your mind, with your purposes, because you said we have the mind of Christ. So we lay all the fear and trepidation down. Holy Spirit, come and move upon your beautiful people, your believers. Let this be a week of extraordinary and extravagant blessing. Let this be a year. And again, Father, we thank you. We bless you. Holy Spirit, just move on these people right now. Right now, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You've heard our hearts. And Father, as we come to a time of fellowshipping over a meal, may you not stop moving, Holy Spirit. Oh, bless you, Lord. Ooh. Bless you, Lord. Your precious name we pray, Jesus. And every saint said, amen. Amen.